There's always something to be said about a team of adventurers that share a brain cell. Well, in this game, they share a little more than a brain cell. Parasites! That's right, we're talking about Baldur's Gate 3. And only the first act, so if you haven't finished the game, don't worry. So join us in this episode as we talk about our Tav, about our companions, and Chloe gives us a really cool rundown of the first two games.
Okay, let me think of like a fun saying. Have you got a lot on your mind and well in it? Well, welcome to In Media Less, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val, and that was great.
And today we will be discussing the 2023 video game, role-playing game, Baldur's Gate 3 by Larian Studios.
And what a game.
What a game. This is one of my favorite games of all time. I can tell you that already. It's probably broken into the top three, and it's only been out a month.
Yeah, I have put way too many hours into it already, and
so have all our friends. Like, it is all amazing just going on Steam and like looking at my friends list, and like one of our friends who shall remain nameless but played 120 hours in the past week. That is three full-time jobs worth of gaming. But today we're only going to be talking about the first act.
Yeah, to give you guys the time.
Because we're all working through it. I've beaten it, but I know Val's still working on it.
I am in act two, and I think I'm mostly done with it.
Yeah, I imagine. I'm like based on what 70%
through it. Yeah, seemingly.
Yeah,
yeah.
So each act, I would say, is basically its own game. As someone who's made it to act two, you know that like there is a big shift in tone between act one and act two. Like it feels it just a little bit of a shift, and yeah, like not just a different map or like, oh, the plot's progressed. It's like, oh, this is like almost a completely different game. So I think each act can kind of stand on its own, so we'll be talking about act one. So if you're concerned about spoilers, we won't be spoiling act two or three.
To the best of our abilities.
To the best of our abilities. You know, like, we have, you know, I've played through both of them. Val's, you know, on act two. We might slip some minor detail here or there, but
so we'll try our darnest not to.
I think I've played through act one a couple times now, so I think I'm pretty good at knowing, like, what's in there versus not. And the other thing is that, like, the companion stuff can progress at different rates, so stuff that happens in, for some people in act two could happen for one of us in act one. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, we'll do our best. We apologize if something gets spoiled. And if you're really particular about spoilers, maybe just wait until you're done to listen to this episode. But if you don't mind some minor things that might come up, this is going to be a good episode. So I'm going to start, Val. I'm going to put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear, first of all, your companion power ranking.
What does that mean?
Rank the companions. Oh,
I was like, wait, I don't know their strength modifiers. I'm sorry. I am not operating at optimal velocity right now. Oh, boy.
Okay. Let's start from worst to best.
Worst. Go. Okay.
On any metric, it doesn't have to be like, you know, do you like them? Do you think they're powerful? Whatever. Just go.
Astarion is going to be in sixth place no matter what.
You just got us a lot of hate.
I know, that, everyone's okay. They're gonna dox me. I don't see what's so appealing about him. I'm sure he's very interesting. He just hits none of the tropes that I enjoy. Like, not a single one. If he was a lady vampire, I would have liked him a little more, but I don't actually think I would have liked him either way, which is weird, because I love vampires.
I do think he has some of the best voice acting. The voice actor for Astarion, whose name I should have had this
very
open, but
foppish.
Yeah, but he's killing it. Like, he's so good at doing these moments where he's, like, too fop, too furious. And it works really, really well, where he just goes, you know, he just gets so into it. And I do appreciate that. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, just his character in general,
He's just, like, a very depressed man. And that has never been, like, a character type that I enjoyed. Like,
and I don't like sad boys. And the actor, by the way, is Neil Newbon. So, I pulled up the list.
Yeah. Nice. I should probably do that at some point, too. But he's last place, both because his story hasn't really captivated me, but also I don't need a rogue in my party. Like, I have...
What are you playing?
I'm Bard.
Okay. What college?
Sword.
Isn't sword with the dual hand crossbows? It rules.
I've not tried the dual hand crossbows. I've been more on the front lines.
Okay.
I'm a sword lady. You know that.
I was doing both. You know, I had there is that finesse longsword you can get in the Underdark in Act One that is just really powerful.
The one that you pull out. My shoulder cracked again real loud. Oh my god. I did the sword removing motion and that's what happens.
Okay.
I'm an athlete. I go to the gym for like hours and hours, like three times a week. I don't know what's happening. I'm falling apart. He's in sixth place. Okay. Then
I agree so far.
Well, next is tough.
Okay.
I think this is gonna be just based off utility.
Then
it's
whatever
Will,
metric. Okay.
Because he's not as powerful as Gale in terms of spells, and he's not as powerful with attacks in terms of the eight women on this team. His Eldritch Blast is awesome. Because I have the thing that, like, pushes enemies back. But, like, if he misses, that's kind of his turn. I actually really like him as a character. I think he has a lot of, like, interesting little nuances, despite being just, like, a good guy trademark. So he's in fifth for utility. Gale.
Okay. His patron, though, is so good, though. I love Mizura.
She's chill. She's okay. I don't know. It might just be the gay in me speaking, but she had way more chemistry with Karlach when she was, like, bullying her that one time that we meet her. Than she ever has with Will.
Well, I don't think she sees Will as a pet. She doesn't see Will as, like, a companion.
Yeah, and she sees Karlach as this, like, dyke.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so that was number five. Who's number four?
Now it's getting hard.
Okay.
Because I want to be sexist. But I do like Gale.
You're gonna put Gale.
I do like Gale. He's very useful. I don't have him in my party. So I'll just put him there because I don't have him in my party. I only use him in moments where I need to steal something from a faction that I am on friendly terms with, and I need, like, a darkness spell or something to cover up my actions. I actually really like Gale. He's, like, really funny. And he's really pathetically sad, but in, like, a way that's not like Astarion.
There's a word for him. I can't use it, but he is an F-boy in my mind.
I can't use the word that I want to say either, but that's not the word I would use for him.
Okay.
But yeah, he's, like, he's chill. I really like him.
Okay. But he's still number four. Now you have to rank the women.
Fairly easy.
Okay.
Shart is in first place.
Okay.
And
Shadowheart, just for people who are not terminally online.
Then it's Lazelle, and then Karlach in third.
Okay.
Interesting. Look, butch women are great. I like both the goblins and the femmes a little more in terms of, like, characters.
Okay. And which one is the goblin and which one is the femme?
Shadowheart is definitely the femme. She's the goth girl.
Okay.
She's the goth femme. Come on.
Yeah.
And then the goblin is the green Gith. Gith?
Gith. Gith. Gith Yankee.
Gith is Mass Effect. Wrong game.
Yes. Yeah. She is not a robot.
Well, how about you?
Okay. I'm going to be really controversial here, and I'm going to start off with a spicy take from my least favorite. I'm going to say Karlach.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I just found her to be too much of a puppy dog. She's too likable, and that makes me dislike her. Like, at some point where I'm like, It's just the reaction I have sometimes in games where they're like, they really want me to like this character, and therefore I'm going to not like them out of spite. I also found...
She's a beast in a fight.
Well, the problem was... Yeah, I felt like she almost makes things too easy. I mean, yeah, and I will admit, I kind of made her a little cheesy with the throw build with Tavern Brawler. But, like, it got to the point where it's just, like, she could just, like, end fights in a round and no one else even got to take a turn. And I was just like, I'm going to put you away because I actually want to play the game instead of just trivialize everything.
I love trivializing, but I don't have your skills of min-maxing.
Well, I just read about it on someone. There was, like, some post on Reddit. It was, like, on the front page of the Baldur's Gate subreddit being, like, Tavern Brawler with throwing things is very busted. And I was like, okay, I'll give that a try on Karlach. And, you know, because if you get her the Berserker build or whatever the subclass is for Barbarian, that gives them the, like, enraged throw or whatever, she can make, like, a gazillion attacks a turn. And if you have a spear that I think you can get in the Grove early on that returns to you when you throw it, and she throws it and it does, like, double damage, and it just kills everything.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not a thrower in this game. I forget about that. But it's
so funny, because then you can also throw the goblins at other goblins, and you can do all this other ridiculous stuff that is very funny.
I'm a very serious person, Chloe.
Yeah, I know. based on the message you sent me immediately before this.
Look, I don't learn my lessons. I've basically made Ro.
Yeah.
And I...
Her character from our D&D game.
And I have made the same decisions that ended in death both times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you get to those decisions, dear listener, you will know which ones that Val picked. Okay, Karlach is sixth.
Uh-huh.
At fifth, I am going to put Gale.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess... I might be relying on a little knowledge as someone who's completed the game, which is not to say I'm not going to say anything, but, like, I was just kind of disappointed by Gale, and...
Wow, Chloe, you just spoiled everything, and I had to cut out, like, 10 minutes.
God. I mean, just to be clear, unlike, you know, like, Minthara, who was broken, or Karlach, who, you know, was missing stuff that they patch in, you know, he's got a full quest line that you can resolve things for him, but, like, I don't know, I just felt like he's kind of emotionally stunted, like.
Absolutely.
We learn that he was, like, the consort of Mistra in Act One,
which I do not know how he's done that, honestly. Good for him. Just another of a 10 dating a 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Although he's ripped. Boy is jacked.
Yeah, he is muscular, and I know, like, he apparently the tadpole in his brain means that he, you know, his magic is suppressed in some way because he was, you know, they all, like, Will mentions that too, but, like, still, it's just like, really, Mistra, this was the best guy. There's so many other wizards out there. This is the one you went with? Okay.
He's pretty.
Yeah.
And who are we to fault a girl for that, you know?
Yeah, true. Then I'm going to say Asterion.
Mm-hmm. In fourth, okay.
I really like the voice actor. If his voice acting alone, I think he would be top. I mean, all the voice acting is really good, I think.
Fits beyond perfectly.
Yeah, and there's the moments when he's, like, outraged by something that you did, like, not just annoyed, but, like, outraged.
Mm-hmm. The voice crack.
Yeah, well, like, there's this part where something can happen. Well, it's Act One. When you're in the, when you get the mace and you don't disarm the trap first in the monastery. Did you get the mace?
Monastery.
With the crash?
That's Act Two. We cannot talk about that.
No, that is Act One. Act Two begins when you enter the
mountain next pass area with a crush.
Nope. Yes. Nope. That is Act One.
Am I my still dear in friend. Act One? I just got to that part. You were talking about Act Two, my friend.
No.
Lathander's mace?
Yeah.
Chloe, I just got to that part today.
No, that's Act 1.
No.
Yeah.
How did you get to it in Act 1?
You literally go there right after you've, like, when you finish all this stuff with the Grove. That's the next destination. Or else the Underdark. And then either through the Mountain Pass or the Underdark, you can go to the Shadow Cursed Lands.
Am I in Act 1?
No, you're in Act 2, but you went back to Act 1 for some reason.
Well, okay. So there's the Underdark and the Grove, right? The two sections. And then you can move on to the next area either through the Mountain Pass or through the Shadowland.
No, it's through the mountain. So if you want to get to the Shadowlands, you can either get there through the Mountain Pass or the Underdark. And they're both part of Act 1.
Oh, then I went back. Okay.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That is not clear at all. Then I did not finish the Mountain Pass all the way.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow, that is literally so unclear. Why would they do that? I mean, it's cool, but it looked like it was two equally weighted decisions. Like, either way, either path you choose is the same message.
There is a bit of a confusing message when you go to the Mountain Pass from the Grove area, where it says, like, this will go to a different region, but that's still Act 1.
Hold on, I'm Googling this because I am mind okay. blown.
Yeah, Val doesn't believe me, but I know I'm right. So look it up. I'm going to sit here with my arms behind my head just relaxing.
Oh my god. Well, I went back to Act 1 and I guess I didn't finish it all the way.
Yep. So the Blood of Lathander, the mace that you can get in Act 1 when you are in the monastery, if you don't disarm the trap fully by returning all the sacred weapons to their proper spots, it explodes, and you can look up Asterion's reaction if he dies in the explosion and you bring him back to life. And
is that the did it get posted on a Discord?
Yeah, I got posted on a Discord. Gotcha. The one where he's very, very upset and he's like, it's just amazing. It's wonderful. It's you just have to see it. I cannot do it justice. But anyway, so his voice acting is great. I put in there, I don't really need a rogue in my group, so because I tend to play Dex characters, and I don't know, he's fine.
It's just utility wise. I don't know, like, I don't enjoy sneaking in this game. I'm a sneaker in games, but in this game,
sneaking can be pretty powerful. Okay, I was very sneaky, but.
How? I don't know. Sneaking in this game stresses me out. Because everyone keeps moving.
There's so many sources of invisibility in this game, dude.
Well, yeah. But I'd rather talk my way into trouble.
I'd rather spring out of nowhere, kill everyone in the first round, and, I don't know.
I see.
Loot them.
Fair enough. I'd rather talk to them, like, annoy them, and then they start
to
fight.
Gonna do some of that, too. But yeah. Okay, so
good next. To know that I messed up majorly.
You didn't really mess up. You well, just
it did feel a little out of order, like where I'm at right now. Like I do feel like something is lacking, and now I know what it is.
I was a little confused about why you were messaging me about Flakith when I was like, she's in Act 2. Why is she messaging me about the Flakith smiting her down? Mm-hmm. That's Act 1, but
so we can talk about that. That's something I've done. I mouthed off to her like 4 times and it just went to a screen that said game over.
It turns out when you insult the immortal god empress, she does not take it well.
She's can't say that word.
Anyway, okay, I need to rank 3 more people.
That's right. We're still on that.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to say Will is next. It is part of the issue is just like a utility issue, like Elder's Blast, as you notice, pretty good. Mm-hmm. The problem is that in this game, there's like no penalties for long resting, except for some very specific circumstances, but usually you can long rest to your heart's content. And so the whole Warlock gimmick of getting their spell slots back every time they short rest is kind of limited, because you're actually more limited in how often you can short rest compared to how long you can long rest. So Will becomes less important, I think, as a result. I still really like him. I like Mizura a lot, his patron. I think she's like the perfect warlock patron in that there's this nebulous contract that you don't get to see, and she's really good at like using it against him. And oh, that's so good. I love when a warlock's patron does that kind of stuff.
Oh, I love a good gaslighter.
Yeah, exactly. Gaslight girl boss, gatekeep. Gaslight gatekeep girl boss, whichever. speaking of gaslighting, Shadowheart, who has no memory. Shadowheart, the cleric of Shar. I really like the voice actor, Jennifer English, does an amazing job.
Yeah, she's so like snooty.
Yeah.
But like in such a classy way.
Yeah, and I feel like Shadowheart has just, her story has a lot going on, and mm-hmm. I feel like it ties in so well with the larger plot, which is not as much the case. I don't know. I mean, that obviously there's stuff that ties into the Hells because the game starts with the Nautilus in the Hells, but mm-hmm. I don't know. And like Asterion's thing is he's mad at his
person who
turned him into a vampire. Yeah, his vampire daddy.
He's got daddy issues.
It's tangentially related, but Shadowheart's story just is so tied in with it. And that brings me to my number one, which is, of course, Lazelle. I just love Lazelle.
I know.
She's, I just think she is, first of all, I think she's actually the most practical of ever. Like, I feel like she's the one who's just like, we have a tadpole in our brain. We need to do something about it. Nothing else matters. And meanwhile, like, my main character's like, oh, we can just go help everyone and solve all these problems. And Lazelle just, like, gets mad at you. He's like, you need to go take care of this. And then also in Act 1, I guess this is might be a spoiler for you, Val. But I guess you were just there with Blackif. So Lazelle turns against Blackif if you present her with the evidence. Pretty easily.
For me, she, like, trusted me fully.
Yeah.
But she's still like, this is a test that I can prove myself. Maybe okay. I chose different.
Did you find the Githyanki disc things in the Underdark and give them to her?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's, like, doubting.
Yeah. Or did you pass? There was also, I think there was, like, a persuasion check.
I don't remember. Probably.
Okay.
I'm really good at those.
Okay.
Almost.
Because when you're talking to Blackith, you can persuade her, and I think that gets her to be like. I think she's still a little uncertain.
I don't think I got that option.
Okay.
Maybe I should go back and get that option because that sounds a little more dynamic than just being like.
Did you kill the Inquisitor? No. Oh, that's probably why.
That's my babe. That's my bae.
Really?
She can betray me.
No. The male Inquisitor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, after the talk with the dreamer, that's what you're talking about, right? When you get back and he's like, oh, I'm gonna kill you all.
Oh, this happened very differently for you than it did for me, apparently.
Mm, okay. Interesting.
Okay, so let me explain the sequence of events as it happened to me, and you can explain yours because I'm very mm-hmm. curious now. So I got to the creche and I went down there and they were like, oh, report to the medical to that weird device to get cleansed. And then we went to the device and it was very obvious that the device thing doesn't cleanse you of the tadpole, it just kills you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I passed a persuasion check and Lazelle was like, oh my God, I don't, or oh my Blackif, I don't know. Like this, someone sabotaged the device. It's supposed, and then she got very suspicious. And then I was taken to, like, the commander lady person of the Githyanki
mm-hmm.
there, and she said, do you have the relic? And I said, no, and then I failed on the deception check, and so she attacked me, so I killed her and her mm-hmm. cronies.
Okay.
And then that got me passage in to see the lead Inquisitor guy. I went in there, he's like, oh, you have it, right? And I was like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And he's like, I'm going to take it from you. And I said, no. And then I killed him.
Okay.
And then that's when Blackif appeared.
Ah, no, it was very different for me.
Okay.
Who did
How did it happen?
Did you speak to the Gith Lady Commander as your character or as Lazelle?
Yeah. Yeah, as my character.
Okay. I spoke to her as Lazelle.
Okay.
And basically...
But you didn't tell her you had it, or did you
basically
tell her you had
the... Basically, she knows you have it if you speak to her as Lazel. There's, like, a deception check, and you can pass it, and at first she's like, yeah. Oh, okay, cool, chill, whatever. And then if you ask any other question, she's like, well, if you give me the relic...
Okay. Interesting.
And so I produced the relic as Lazel.
Yeah.
She took it, the relic, like, slingshot it back to me. Yeah. She got pissed off. She's like, go talk to the Inquisitor, meh. And then I went to talk to the Inquisitor, this time as my character, because I try to, like, from time to time when I feel the moment is important to have that character speak.
Okay.
But for, like, the most important moments, I am myself. And I talked to the Inquisitor dude, and he was like, where's the thing? And I'm like, it's over here. And he's like, okay, here's the queen. And then the queen was like, go into it and kill whoever's in there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. And we just went in there. And then I did not kill the dreamer because I was like,
I did not either.
Yeah. Because she's cool. Like, I have not finished the game. Something is very, very wrong with her. She's fixing some mistake at our expense, probably, but, like, it's okay. I made her real pretty.
Yeah.
I saw,
made her,
like,
real pretty. It's gonna be even better when she betrays you.
Right? I'm just gonna be, like, fully in at that point. Yeah. There's, like, a Tumblr post where someone made a character that's just, like, a dad. It's just a dad. It's just, like, a guy with a mustache, slightly balding. And then the dreamer was just, like, a mom. That's pretty silly.
Mommy and daddy.
Yeah. And they're okay. Like, everyone's making these hot characters, but I'm just making a babysitter.
You know, sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah.
I think with this group of babies. Yeah, I agree.
Oh my god, can I just say, every single one of them is a loser? They're all just losers.
I think that's the idea, that, like, they're all kind of washed up has-beens, or, like,
never-beens. I don't know,
or never-beens, or, like, yeah, or, like,
they're just,
Lazel is just, like, kind of, like,
she's
a mess.
She's such Lazel girl.
Yeah.
She's so awkward. She's so bad at social things, and we know that, but she's worse than you think.
It's so good when the facade cracks, though, and you see, like...
When she mispronounced that word, I don't remember what the word...
Tieflings.
Yeah, and we can make fun of her for it, and she gets so self-conscious.
She rolls her eyes, but then she says, you will tell me everything you
yeah.
know about this Faerun, or something. And she says it very oddly, and then you can make fun of her, and you can tell that she's just so annoyed that she doesn't have it perfect.
Exactly. She's like a dork. She's just a dork. And then Shadowheart is a nerd.
Yeah.
And not a single... There's no brain cell because the parasite's eaten it all from all of us. There's none.
Shadowheart is like a wine mom.
Shadowheart? I don't know about that. She drinks wine a lot.
I just feel like she does, but
she's the older sister. She's the older sister, not the mom.
Did you do the romance scene with her after you save the grove?
Where you can make out?
Yeah.
Yeah. She like shares wine.
You guys just drink wine all night.
Yeah, but that's
it's just very wine mom.
I don't know. To me, that's very much like the oldest sibling. Just like
also, she's in her 40s, I believe.
Well, that's a spoiler. Oh.
No, that's not a spoiler. I don't think it's revealed in game.
Oh, okay. Where is it revealed?
I think it's just... I don't know.
Well, she's a half-elf.
I read it somewhere on Reddit.
Gotcha. She's a half-elf.
Yeah, she's a... It's like... Okay, Asterion is in his 200s. Shadowheart is 40. Will is about 24.
Really? He looks older.
So, I guess I can't mention too much, but there's some stuff that he clarifies that gives you the timeline. Karlach is in her early 30s, as is Gale.
Makes sense.
Well,
long relationship.
This says Gale might be in his early 40s.
Oh, okay. So
he doesn't look it, but...
Nah. I mean, 40's not that old.
Yeah. Especially when you have magical concoctions and whatnot, I'm sure.
And also, who knows what the weave has done. I bet she was like, I want my boyfriend to be hot for a longer time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, Chloe, age is but a number.
It's not like Baldur's Gate 2, where I think the main character has a very specific age.
Really?
Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. Well, because I'm going to spoil the plot of Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, because this is the sequel. So, and this games came out like 25 years ago. So you are a ball spawn in Baldur's Gate 1 and 2.
A what?
A ball spawn.
What is
a
that?
A child of Baal, the god of murder.
Oh, okay.
Like so there was an event in the history of Toril, Faerun, is that there was the Time of Troubles, and so the over god Ao, I think his name is, got really mad at
Ao.
The other gods. Ao, he got mad at the other gods and stripped them of their divinity and forced them to walk Toril as mortals. And
that's where Selsby is from.
No, that's a beer. Is where Selsby's from. Toril's favorite.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Favorite, I think, is the continent, and Toril is the world. Or something like that. Someone's gonna correct me, but whatever. So all the gods are walking the world as mortals, and Baal received a prophecy and foresaw his own murder, and therefore decided to just go hog wild, and he sired a lot of kids, and I mean like hundreds.
Damn, boy, this must have been tired for years.
Yeah, this guy basically went Genghis Khan on things. Not to be too flippant, but like, yeah, there was a lot of ball spawn because he saw this is his path to resurrection. He got murdered by Sirik, the mad god, but then he thought he could be resurrected through his child. And so in Baldur's Gate 1, the main character, who is a ball spawn, you are being hunted by another ball spawn. So the ball spawn, it's kind of like there can be only one rule. So like, they all have to kill each other, and then the one that's remaining can claim the mantle of Baal. and so Saravok, who is your half brother, basically is trying to conquer the Sword Coast and kill all the Baal spawn, and so he's targeting you, but you, long story short, defeat him with you a ragtag group of friends. His feet.
Yeah,
you defeat him. So and that's Baldur's Gate 1. In Baldur's Gate 2, I don't know why I'm reciting the plot. We can cut this out, but whatever. I'm going to keep going.
Please do.
You are captured by a mage named John Arrhenicus, who
it's always a John.
It's always a John. It's freaking Johns.
If you're a John, like, be better, man.
Yeah, who's interested in... He wants to claim your divinity, the divine essence in you, for himself, to make himself, give himself power unto a god. And so he traps you, he experiments on you, strips you of your godly essence, and basically the whole story is a long quest to get your mojo back, which you do, and you...
Nice.
You kill him, and then you go down to hell and kill him again, so he's ultra dead. And then finally, in Throne of Baal, which is the expansion pack to Baldur's Gate 2, this is where all the Baal spawn are basically, there's only a handful left, so they're all killing each other, and you kill all their mini Baal spawn, and then either decide to become Baal, to take the throne of murder, but turn it into something good, or forsake divinity entirely. I believe the canonical ending is that the Baal spawn was a human man and he forsook divinity and decided to just live out the rest of his days in Baldur's Gate.
I like that.
Yeah, and I can't say too much, but a lot of stuff in Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 does play into Baldur's Gate 3. Like, if you have played those games, a lot of that comes back in some, although it was like 100 years in the past, but there's still echoes of that because it was an event that basically shaped the recent history of the Sword Coast. So,
interesting. All right.
Yeah, and actually, interestingly enough, so I'm sorry, I'm talking so much.
I love it.
Can I just do one more part?
You can do two more parts.
So an interesting thing that I always loved, and this was, you know, I remember posting about this back like in high school, because I was obsessed with Baldur's Gate 2 in high school. I loved that game.
I've not heard of it until this game came out, but continue.
It was probably my most played game of my childhood, if I had to guess. So I like was active on like the message boards and stuff. And there was this really interesting theory, because in Baldur's Gate 2, there were a lot of events and side quests and things that happened on the Sword Coast in Baldur's Gate 2 that weren't really explained and didn't have to do with Irenicus or the Ballspawn. And so there was this question of like, there's this hidden plot, this hidden secret plot of a secret group that is manipulating things.
Oh my God.
For their benefit. And the theory was at the time, and this, keep in mind, decades ago.
Yeah.
Was that it was Illithids.
Okay, that's awesome.
So Baldur's Gate 3 actually takes that and runs with it. So they took the plot that was left in Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 and never handled and brought it into Baldur's Gate 3 with the Mind Flayer. So
that's cool. I love fan service.
Yeah, it's amazing, because it's just like, oh my God, the theories that I was posting about on the message board and all those little things, all those clues, and, you know, because there's all this stuff, like, you were in Afkatla, and there were a bunch of Mind Flayers in the sewers for no reason, and it was like a whole question of, like, why are the Mind Flayers there, and there's all this other stuff like that, but...
That's so cool, like, that's how you do it, you know?
Yeah.
It, first of all, if someone has a really, really, really cool idea, and the stuff that a company made already supports it most of the way, like, you can just go with it.
Yeah.
I feel like people don't want to, like, confirm fan ideas. But this is probably one of the reasons that this game is so successful. Because it's, like, for the fans.
Yeah.
Very clearly for the fans.
And so many different types of fans, I think, is also part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, obviously, if you're a long-term fan who knows all the deep lore of Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, like, there's so much in it, like me, like, you know, who was there when the deep magic was written, whatever that meme is. But like, there's so much in here, and you find so many references to it, and... You know, that's awesome, and I love it. But then also, if you're someone who knows nothing about the history of the Sword Coast, you can still have, like, an amazing time, because you don't need to know about Sarah Vok to know that, like, I don't know, I've got a tadpole in my brain, I gotta do something about it.
Yeah. Who's that?
He was the antagonist of Baldur's Gate 1.
Oh, okay.
I was...
Oh, the stepbrother.
Yeah,
gotcha, half-brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. I only remember John.
He's a cool-looking dude. I'm going to send you a picture of Sarah Vok.
But yeah, like, it's... So I tried playing Skyrim. I tried playing Dragon Age. I tried playing Dishonored. They're all kind of, like, in a similar sphere of games, I guess. And none of them really stuck. I would just get bored very, very quickly.
Yeah.
This game immediately captivated me. I don't know what it was. I wasn't even that excited for it. I had it for, like, almost from the very beginning of Early Access. I got it almost immediately. My brother got it for me, I think, almost immediately. So Ben bought it for me. I played it for maybe, like, 5 minutes and then just never again. But with the full game coming out, it just, I don't know, like, it hit me, and I was in. Oh, that's a cool fella. He looks like he belongs in Fallout.
So that's funny. So, I mean, the animation was probably done around the same time as Fallout, so that's probably why it's got similar vibes. Might even be the same blocky animation studio. That very 90s.
Yeah, the blocky, here was his portrait, helmet.
Though.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, you could actually, in Throne of Bolt, you could resurrect him and have him join your party.
That's cool.
And then you would love this. You can make him into a good boy by being really nice to him.
We can fix a guy?
You can fix him.
Oh, man. You're making me want to play a game that I will not enjoy playing.
You would not. Like, yeah, don't play Baldur's Gate 1 or 2.
I will not enjoy it. I know.
It uses the second edition rule set. So do you know how Thaco works?
No.
Okay.
I'm a fake fan, okay? Chloe, you should know this.
I'm not gatekeeping. I'm saying that, like, I don't know how Thaco works. Oh, I did not think and I've about played that it. At all. Like, there's all this weird stuff. Like, if you try and cast spells while wearing armor, it's not like 5e where if you have proficiency in the armor, you just cast the spells. No. In second edition, if you try and cast spells in armor, sometimes the spells just don't cast. And there's other stuff, like there are no skills, so everything's just ability checks, except for rogues. Rogues are the only ones with skills. So only rogues can attempt to disarm or open or lockpick. No one else can even attempt to do it.
What?
And you memorize spells, but then you, like, I think they changed this for the enhanced editions because it is some galaxy brain stuff that you have to figure out. Like, so how it used to work is that if I'm playing a wizard in second edition, mm-hmm. and I want to cast magic missile 3 times that day, I have to tell the DM, or I have to tell the game in Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, that I'm going to memorize this spell 3 times, and then okay, I have three uses yeah. it for, and then I have 3 uses of it for that day. And if I want to use a different spell that I didn't prepare for that day, I'm screwed. And if I, you know, like, so you've already devoted that spell slot to magic missile, and you can't change it. Like, you don't have a list of spells to pick from. You've got already know what spells you're going to cast for the entire day at the beginning of the day.
Well, that's how I operated in high school, which is why I was not a good student.
Yeah, it's some galaxy brain stuff. Anyway, I am getting way off topic.
No, this is awesome.
Okay, yeah.
I really like this context.
Clearly learned that I know way too much about these games. But okay, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
So you said you got this in early access. Did you play any of it when it was in early access?
Maybe 15 minutes. I think I was just on the, what is it, Nautiloid?
Yeah.
And then I got out of it and I found Vampire Boy. I think Gale didn't even exist at that point. I think it was just like a portal where there was something strange, but you can only interact and be confused at it. There was like a line of dialogue and then nothing would happen. And that's about it. It was very, very early. Like,
okay,
almost immediately.
You're romancing Shadowheart for your playthrough, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. There's just something about, like, a really messy person that...
Fair enough. Trying to think if I have any other... I don't know. I'm, like, out of questions because I was just so deep into lore.
Well, okay. I have a question.
Yes.
I know
because I haven't talked enough.
Finished. I know you already finished it once. Yeah. Are you doing a second playthrough?
So I have several playthroughs going right now. So I did
like a couple of my friends in different configurations. Yeah,
I'm doing a multiplayer one with Becky and Amanda, which is kind of a mess. It's a lot of fun, but also like a giant mess. But I'm doing for that one, I'm doing a Githyanki monk, which, if you have not tried Monk out in Baldur's Gate 3, it is a blast. It is so much fun. You just have a gazillion attacks, and you can do all these cool abilities with them. Like, you can add a stun, or knock them down, or push them. It feels super versatile and fun. Like, highly recommend checking out Monk if you haven't, because none of the companions are monks, so like I feel like we don't get exposed to it necessarily. But yeah, my first playthrough that I completed was with a bard, a tiefling bard.
That's what I started as.
Yeah, I my first character was a drow sorcedain. But the completed one was the bard, because I was just having so much fun as bard. And then I started another playthrough as a cleric, just because I saw something that said like clerics are the least played class right now. I think mainly because Shadowheart is so good that people feel like they're just going to take Shadowheart, so why do I need a second cleric?
Yeah.
I think that's why it's the least played class.
So until I used Withers to just respec her, girl would miss everything. She would an 80% chance to hit, and she would miss like 100% of those. I was just losing my mind.
Well, because she starts in Trickery, which is the worst bard subclass. Like, or not bard, cleric subclass. So switching her to Light, Tempest, or War makes her a gazillion times better.
I switched her, I think, to Life, and then I just put all of her skills into whatever the cleric skill is. Wisdom. All of her points, yeah. She's a wise one now.
Yeah, she's a wise guy.
She's a wise fella. And then after, now she only misses about 30% of the time.
Okay.
I just stopped using Guiding Bolt, honestly.
Once you get Spirit Guardians, you just put that on her. Oh, it's
so fun. You just turn it on and she just walks around. That's all she needs to do. Just turn her into a walking blender. She's a neat blender.
Yeah.
So funnily enough, actually, the way that my game progressed is I started playing as a tiefling bard. I went on a vacation for 10 days. Forgot everything that happened in the game. Was very confused and frustrated because I was like, what mission am I doing? Where did I go? Where did I not go? Whatever. Restarted. Did a monk.
Yeah.
Immediately got like bored with the dialogue without the bard options. And as soon as I got Withers, switched her to a bard as well.
Okay.
I really love the talky part in this game.
I do think for your first playthrough, doing a high charisma character is like really cool because that gives you all the dialogue options and there's so many shenanigans you can get up to.
Yes. You can just mess around and find out.
Yeah.
And I do. I do a lot, and it's really fun. Still upset about not taking the mountain path first and then going down. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great time.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, continue. I don't think you answered the question I asked because I interrupted.
Oh, what was the question?
If you were to... Oh, I guess you did replay, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got a couple. I'm taking a break right now, though, because I just want to... Well, I want to wait for the patches and...
One tomorrow, pretty big one.
Yeah, third patch tomorrow. But also, I just want to, like, give it a little time to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I played, like, 200 hours of this game in the space of, like, 6 weeks. I need to come up for air.
Yeah. You get lost in games, which is really cool. I'm very jealous. Like when Elden Ring came out, you were just in it for how many hours? God knows.
I took work off so that I could play Elden Ring.
Yeah. I'm just busy. I'm getting like no sleep.
it's the perks of living on my own. I think also is just that like I can just like. I don't know, like no one, if I need to take, if I want to, I can just take, like I could just call out sick tomorrow and just stay at home and sit in my pajamas and play Baldur's Gate all day and
rub it in, say
anything to me, but I'm not going to do it. One, I'm not sick and I do not call out sick unless I am sick, if my boss is listening, and
Chloe's responsible, everyone knows that.
Yeah. And also, I am just giving it a breather, so I'll come back to it, I'm sure. And also, like, our multiplayer sessions are only, like, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
But man, when they happen, it's just chaos mode. If you have not played this game multiplayer, highly recommend to our listeners trying it out with a couple friends. It's just chaos mode.
I don't think I'll be able to get through that. I don't know. Maybe that's just like the leftover vibes from my Call of Duty years. I think the frustration would definitely bubble up.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like, this is a very relaxing game.
Yeah.
And if everyone is doing their thing, I feel like I'd feel very harried and like...
Okay. You'd feel rushed.
Rushed, and I would feel the need to like be better. Not necessarily like in terms of combat or whatever, but just like, you know, not as messy as usual. Because then like other players' enjoyment is on the line for that.
Yeah.
Which is why I did not offer to join any of your multiplayer sessions that everyone was like asking about. Fair I was just enough. Like, no, you guys do your thing. I might play with a friend. She's waiting for the third patch because she's got a Mac. I don't know how that'll work. Hopefully it does. But yeah, it's not for me. I feel like I'd just be quiet. Not angry or anything, but just like I feel like I'd be quiet while gaming with other people. I know we're reaching like the end of the episode, but yeah. This is kind of like an opening question, unfortunately, but maybe it'll be quick. Who knows? Why did you choose Lazelle?
To romance.
Yeah.
I mean, my Drow playthrough, I romance Shadowheart. And it's a good romance. I'm not going to knock it. Like, it is enjoyable. But I just wanted to try a different one. And then, like, Lazelle really grew on me over the course of Act 1 on my first playthrough. Like, if I had known how chill and how baby she is and how
she's you know, so like, baby
I would have romanced her on my first playthrough, so she is great. And I wanted to see where it went, because especially because I feel like a lot of I don't know like I feel like she's very divisive online. Like people love Asterion, people love Karlach, they love Shadowheart. Lazelle, some people really think she's just abrasive and mean, and she is, but
lovable.
She's like a kitty. She's a kitty cat. She just needs.
I was gonna say she has such strong Catra vibes.
Yeah,
just like impeccable Catra vibes. Just she's gonna knock that glass over.
Yeah, exactly.
She just needs attention because she comes from a sucky place, just like every other character.
And just for something to look forward to, there are some scenes in Act 3 that if you do pretty much any of the romances, I was like blushing.
Oh yeah, I remember you mentioning that the shooketh comments of like, oh my god.
It was like I closed the game and checked and I was like, it's rated M, not AO, like not adult zone. Like how did they like I don't even know. If it's like one of those things like if my like parents walked in on me doing this, they would be like, this is porn. Like it my is God. Wow.
Okay.
But that's all I'm gonna say.
I just figured out a thing before you do the closing comments. Why Asterion did not grow on me? He's the only character where he is embracing his sadness. He's
what do you mean?
I feel
that?
Like he's the only character who's like, I'm sad, and here's why. Whereas everyone else, like, they're kind of hiding it. Right, you can tell they're really, really sad people, but like they don't talk about it. Whereas with Asterion, he's like, "And my dad sucks, and I had to eat rats for 2 centuries, and I'm really sad." And like, did you know that I was sad? And I think that got really old very quickly for me. Whereas like with Lazelle, as you said, we're slowly discovering that she's actually a really cool person. And once she, like, if you give her the attention, she'll start to, like, open up.
Yeah.
With Shadowheart, we see her grow. With Karlach, we see her, like, for me, Karlach is one of my favorites because, first of all, like, she's way too likable in the beginning. But then the more you, like, travel with her, some of the stuff she says is just so sad.
Yeah.
She says it with a grin and a smile and she's always happy, but, like, out of all the people, I feel like she needs to go to therapy first. It's just, like, too repressed. Way too repressed. And, like, with Gale, he doesn't talk about anything. He makes jokes about it. Shadowheart is, like, very focused. She doesn't, like, care about herself at all. Like, all these characters... Will just will not mention anything. We don't know anything about Will. Like, I don't know anything about him, and I keep talking to the dude. And I'm like, bro, just tell me. And he's like, yeah, I grew up, I had a dad. You know, I made a decision. Don't regret it. Only a little. And I'm like, no, let me know you. Because I can see that, like, this destroyed your life. Whereas Asterion is the only one that's like, and here's what happened to me, and here's why I'm allowed to be sad. And I don't know, it's just not the same. It doesn't hit the same.
I see what you mean. I don't want to say anything and accidentally spoil any late game stuff. I agree. And I think it's interesting that they all kind of have parental issues in a way.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I forgot to mention... I'll leave it for a second act. I had a really awesome discussion with one of my buds. I said buds wrong. With one of my buds. And, like, we talked about the meta level of the plot. And just, like, how it reflects the game with relation to us playing it. It's, I don't know, it's just real cool. That's for a second episode of Baldur's Gate that we're going to do at a later date.
Yes. So this was our first of maybe probably two three. Or three. Probably three. Baldur's Gate episode. So thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to mention our social media. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest is at @immedialez. Our subreddit is r/immedialez. And our Tumblr is...
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
You can reach us at immedialez@gmail.com. And our website is immedialez.com. There is a link to our Discord server in the description. Please join us and... post pictures of your Baldur's Gate 3 character and tell us who you're romancing.
Yeah, and like, I forgot what I was going to say. I'm cutting this part out. Brain fart. Continue. Wow.
Okay.
New sentence.
I don't know what else to say.
And we'll see. Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah.
And we'll I'm see like, you what? In the next one.
Okay, I'm laughing. And Char, bless you.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss new episodes. Also, it helps us grow, and we appreciate every single one of you who follows. And if you like us, tell a friend. Just be like, hey, these two lesbians are talking about other lesbians, gays, non-binary folk, and really queer people. Once again, thanks for listening, and we really appreciate you.